Hello, hello, my hot little tamales. Welcome to another episode here at Holy Raw Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Isabel, and I'm excited to be here. There's been so much going on and lots of really fun, exciting things happening. I feel like there's always fun, exciting things happening, but that's because I've been doing a lot of fun, exciting things. 2 weeks ago, I was just at an animal communication workshop. I guess I'm just giving you guys an update here. And it was super expansive and transformational, as these workshops typically end up being, really. And there's been a lot of deep diving happening there and really discovering like new elements about myself and how I would like to integrate that into the business. So that's always super exciting. And I've been meaning to do this podcast for a long time. So we are going to be talking about yeast today, because 70% of my clientele is dealing with pests with allergies or yeast, if not more. I seem to definitely attract that clientele because it's something that really interests me and I have a lot of compassion towards with my own personal experience. So yeah, I'm excited for this. I'm excited about the different workshops that I've been attending, and now I'm like ready to work. I'm back, baby. And we're gonna be, yeah, like I said, talking about yeast. So if you have never heard my podcast before and you're just tuning into this one, a little introduction on myself. I'm a small animal naturopath and carnivore nutritionist, and I focus on nutrition for dogs and cats as nature intended for them to eat. And I have my own shop here in a small town called Chelsea, Quebec, where me and my team help hundreds of pets each month. And we offer a wide variety of raw food, holistic supplements, and my goal is to empower you as a pet owner so that you have the knowledge and the tools necessary to make the right health choices for your pets. So that's what I'm all about here, and I'm excited to be diving into today's episode. So why do so many pets suffer from yeast? What is yeast? Is there something I can do to help my pet get some relief? These are some of the questions that I get from my clients, and I'm really excited to dive into this one. So it's really common actually for pets to get misdiagnosed with allergies when in reality they're actually suffering from a yeast infection, and sometimes it becomes systemic, right? So today I'll be speaking about that, my own personal experience, and that of clients to help you have a better understanding on yeast and how it manifests. What are the signs? How to help prevent or be proactive with yeast? Because there are things that you can do to help your pet. So just a little disclaimer here that this podcast is not intended to replace or substitute professional care from your vet. The information provided is based on experience, sharing knowledge, but not meant to treat, prescribe, or diagnose by any means. If your pet is sick, I strongly advise seeking help from your local holistic vet. This podcast is for informational purposes only and educational purposes only. So yeah, let's dive in. What is yeast? Yeast is a fungus. They are really opportunistic, and they actually naturally reside in our pet's gut in small numbers, and it's actually controlled by their beneficial bacteria in their gut that keeps them in check. They actually play a role in digestion. However, when our pets have an imbalance in the gut, this is where yeast can overpopulate and causing negative side effects in our pets. So symptoms of yeast resemble so much like allergies that it doesn't surprise me to see misdiagnosis, like I said earlier, happen. Yeast episodes can be really uncomfortable physically and emotionally, and it's hard to watch our pets suffer. That's definitely the biggest hardship there, is having to watch our pets going through that. So hopefully I'm going to shed some light today for you. The most common yeast we see in our pets is Candida and, hopefully I'm saying this right, Melassezia. These are both very common in people as well. And some of the symptoms that you can see with a yeast overload is constant itch, red hot ear infections, seasonal allergies, hot spots, chronic tearing. So like, you know, when they have like the rusty eyes and paws, those are sometimes signs. Black skin. So you usually see, like, especially in the abdominal area, you'll see like the skin turning black, and that's usually a sign of a yeast die-off. They'll also have, like, this is really common in the ears when they're dealing with yeast, is the skin texture becomes like an elephant skin looking texture and feel. So it gets thicker from the inflammation with the yeast. Constant itching, like I said, and sometimes strong, pungent, wet dog smell, even though they're not wet. You know what I mean? Like Cheeto Nacho. Yeah. And flaky skin, sometimes loss of hair. Constant pollicking, just to name a few. So what you might be noticing is your dog or cat is either, well, this is not really as common in cats as it is in dogs, to be honest, but it can happen in cats too. So what you'll notice is that they're itchy all over, but actually sometimes people will notice that their pets are itchier at night, and that's because the yeast is actually more active at night. So I've noticed over the years too, the link of yeast episodes, like yeast flare-ups, and the link with the full moon. So if you were to look at the tides of the moon, like the tides of the water and the association with the moon, when it's a full moon, the water is higher, whereas when it's a crescent moon, the tides are lower. So I do really think there's a symbiotic relationship there. For sure, because nutritionists will tell you to do a detox after a full moon. So curious indeed. It's, yeah. A lot of yeasty dogs I've seen are actually really anxious. And we sometimes just think they have anxiety, but usually it's actually tied to the inflammation in the gut. So this is actually the result of the gut and brain axis. The gut is responsible for 80% of our immune system and that of our pets. Also, the sheer discomfort of yeast and its symptoms can create anxiety behaviors in our pets because it is really agitating. The importance of the gut health is so paramount for an overall healthy body and immune system function. When our pets are diagnosed with yeast, they usually go through a round of heavy antibiotics, further driving the disease into the body and inevitably making this counterproductive. So we don't want to see them uncomfortable. We go to the vet, we get the antibiotics, and unfortunately, yeah, it does become counterproductive. And the reason is because antibiotics strips all of the beneficial bacteria and the bad bacteria. But the bad bacteria always grows quicker than the good bacteria. Did you know after one course of antibiotics, it takes a minimum 1 year, truly longer, to restore some of those lost good bacteria if they're on an optimal diet? But the gut microbiome will never look the same after you've given one course of antibiotics. So I'm not saying never give antibiotics. I do believe it has its place, but they have been popped out like candies, like ain't nobody's business. You know what I mean? So we got to be a little attentive to that, in my opinion. So with my own experience with yeast, I know gut health and mental health and the state of your energy is crucial in effectively eradicating yeast. So in what environment does yeast thrive in? So processed diets are like a big, you want to feed that yeast? Give kibble. Like, kibble is like the ultimate breeding ground food source for yeast. They love it. It's full of starches and sugars, which feeds the bad bacteria. And it really ensures a healthy colony of yeast, because like I said, it feeds them. And if you want to prevent yeast, the best place to start is diet. When you're taking away starches and sugars and you're giving them a raw food diet, it will actually help starve the yeast and can help with ending the yeast cycle. Yeast thrives in pets who carry heavy metals in their body. So Candida actually has an affinity to metals. A lot of people don't know that. And Candida will bind to heavy metals. It especially loves mercury. And in the article that I read from Veg Health, they share chemical and toxic metal buildup inside the body can also lead to hormonal imbalance, genetic alterations, immune system failure, poor elimination, slower healing process, skin problems, allergies, and nerve and brain damage. And the presence of heavy metals in the body, lead, silver, and mercury, coming from our food, air, medicines, and dental fillings for humans, which contain 50% amalgam, creates an acidic and anaerobic, so anaerobic is a lack of oxygen, environment that encourages candida yeast overgrowth. So I just thought I'd throw that statement in there to tack on to what I'm talking about here. And there are many ways that the heavy metals actually find their way into our pet's body. So some of those ways you can find heavy metals making their way into our pet's body is through processed pet foods, environmental toxins, vaccines. Vaccines, there's some of them out there that have mercury and aluminum, right? And then there's fish sauce. Fish such as tuna and salmon. So usually you want to avoid those large fish because they're going to have more mercury exposure, and also poor quality of water. So what's your source of water? Is it fluoridated? Does it have fluoride in it? So these are just to name a few. And further helping with the statement in the article, in an article by Dogs Naturally magazine, they share yeast loves to gobble up heavy metals. Researchers are actually looking at yeast as a solution to soak up environmental heavy metals. So the fact that yeast binds to heavy metals is good news for the environment, but less so for our dogs. Researchers are investigating how yeast interacts with heavy metals in the intestine, and it looks like candida and other yeast binds to heavy metals in the intestine. This is good news. Yeast grabs the heavy metals before they enter the body, but heavy metals are toxic to the beneficial bacteria that also lives in the gut. So as the mercury and other heavy metals kill off the competing bacteria, the yeast has less competition and can grow out of control. So we can just see here in this statement how consciousness of the fact that our pets can have heavy metals when they're dealing with yeast, how paramount knowing that is, because it shows us the importance that a heavy metal detox would be a really good protocol to follow suit with pets who are suffering from yeast, right? And how I find it so interesting that the metals really are obviously not good for the beneficial bacteria in our gut and making yeast thrive that much more and taking over. So super interesting. And yeast is also more prone in individuals who are stressed and have a compromised immune system. And I'm going to shed some light on different stress factors that we don't typically think of. So some of the stresses can be triggered when there's no safe space to have quiet time. So some of us have really busy lives and we have a dog and they love, you know, being rambunctious and busy and all that just with us, right? But they do need quiet time. And I know, like, speaking out of experience, like with having kids and a bunch of distractions, my own dog needs quiet time. So I'll put her in the room and she'll go and sleep, right? Like, that's super important. Things like LED lights, you know, do you have a clock in your room? Do you always have LED lights on and your pet can never rest in the full darkness like they would naturally? So, and also toxins such as household cleaners. These are stressors to the immune system. The cleaners that are in the house, like, are you using Lysol? Are you using Mr. Clean? Are you using those harsh chemicals? Or is your dog sleeping in your bed and you're using Gain or Tide? You know, just to name some of those things, those brands, because they do have a lot of toxic off-gassing, which can be playing a factor in our pet's immune system becoming compromised. Also, emotional suppression, prescription medications, and antibiotics can allow candida to thrive. And sometimes something that we don't think about too is an alignment issue. And so what happens with alignment issues in our pets is that they get a compromised vagus nerve. And sometimes that can be the root of the problem too. So an animal chiro or a vet can help you navigate whether your dog or cat has a compromised vagus nerve. And to learn more about the vagus nerve, you can find this on my CBD podcast. These are examples of some potential stressors that can impact the overall well-being of your pet. So I hope you found that helpful. And did you know that, this is mind-blowing, one single yeast particle can secrete up to 100 toxins in the body per day? When I first started carrying Adored Beast, we did a training session, and they're the ones who actually taught me that. So I did find an article from Julie Ann, who is the founder of Adored Beast, and she's been on this mission in helping pets with yeast and allergies for many, 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 many years. If you haven't checked her out before, I definitely do so. She is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to yeast and the gut microbiome. This has been her life's work. And I'm so grateful that I get to learn from someone as wonderful as her. So yeast, in her article, it says, yeast is not our friend. Thriving candida yeast are full of toxins. But what is really interesting, and what many people do not know, is that as yeast die, they release exponentially more, approximately 79 known toxins flood into the body with this die-off. So not only is it itchy, it's really systemically toxic. So then I list some of the signs of yeast die-off, which I do get panic texts, and then I'm like, yay, we're doing the thing. We're doing it, baby. So sometimes you'll notice worsening of symptoms, black colored skin, like I mentioned earlier, in the abdomen area is usually very common to having that black colored skin, diarrhea, ear infections, discharge in eyes, ears, nose, and skin. These are all common signs of a yeast die-off. So we'll talk more about that. On a more woo-woo train, you can tell me I'm being woo-woo, but I do think it's really important, is on the energetic standpoint of yeast and what its spiritual meaning is. So the spiritual meaning of yeast is actually that of lack of self-worth and or resistance of feeling unsafe to receive. So our animals can actually be helping us move through some stuff that is stuck within ourselves. And I do often see this parallel in my clients. We can experience lack of self-worth in our work environment, our friendships, our relationships, and are feeling safe to receive due to trust issues. So like, for example, maybe you were gifted things and somebody was always expecting to get gifted back, or they shoved the gifts back in your face whenever there'd be an outburst of any sort. That's just some examples there. And we have made it normal to project our emotions onto our pets and humanizing them. To us, we're coming from a place of love, but this can have a hindered effect, right? And if we can sit back and observe and ask ourselves, what is the mirror or the teacher in the experience our pets are having? This is a great learning opportunity to help move through it for ourselves, for our pets, letting them know, communicating with them that we don't need them to take on all of our stuff, and using other healing modalities to help them move through it is a great way to help raise their vibration and helping them move through some stuck energy. And energy work is been really life-changing for me. And some of the energy work you can work with your pet is meditation, sound healing, crystal bowls are really great, Reiki healing. I find doing Reiki healing sessions with both you and your pet is extremely powerful. Body talk, animal communication, these are all really effective ways of like helping move that energy that might be stuck in you, and helping that stuck energy with them too, right? So we have such a close-knit relationship with our pets because they're in our home. and we love them, they're family, but they inevitably take things on for us. They could need some help moving through these blockages, and I have found meditating with my animals, like I said, and receiving energy medicine has really helped me overcome my own stuff and working on my self-worth and help my pets move through it. Becoming in tune with my own consciousness and that of my animals has really helped me understand their needs better. I really contemplated sharing this part, but I look at the whole picture. And seeing the whole picture is so important for me. And that's why I want to share, because we're all energy. And sometimes we're living in a lower vibration. It's all part of the human experience, and it's okay. Our animals are our little healers. They chose to be here in this lifetime with us, right? So there's a sacred contract between us and our animals, whether they're farm animals, whether they're household animals. They have chosen to be here in this lifetime with us. And there's going to be this really reciprocal relationship, and especially energetically. So being mindful of that. And it's such a great opportunity to ask ourselves, where do I lack self-worth? Am I a people pleaser? Do I hate my job, but I do it anyways? Am I in a relationship that I can voice myself, feel loved, heard, and appreciated? Do I feel worthy of a loving partner? Do I allow my family to walk all over me and I haven't yet established those boundaries, those healthy boundaries? Do I give too much to the point I feel depleted? Do I allow people to invade my space? Am I ready to live my meaningful life that fulfills my true heart's desire? Am I truly ready to receive? If you can answer these questions honestly, this can become a healing journey for both you and your pet. Science is great. It gives us amazing tools and knowledge. However, energy, consciousness, and raising our vibration is just as important. When we heal, the ripple effects happen and allow our pets to heal as well. So, yeah, I hope that kind of helped move some stuff for you. What can we do to help our pets heal from yeast? As much as I would love to tell you there's a one course of action that fits all, I have to admit that's not the case. And there's no quick fix. But bear with me, baby. Every pet reacts differently. And that's why I find it important that we are patient. And because yeast can take from months to years to heal. Remembering that the more drugs we use to suppress the symptoms, the more counterproductive our work becomes, further pushing the disease into the body. So this one dog that came into my practice in my very early practice, she gave me permission to share his story. He's since passed, so I do want to acknowledge that, and I'm really grateful that she's letting me share this story with you guys for educational purposes. So Rocky, what a gorgeous German Shepherd. And I find that these breeds really oftentimes, not to stereotype, but a lot of German Shepherds suffer from yeast. Don't know completely why, but have an idea. So Rocky, she had gone through every single loop and has paid thousands of dollars into vet care, doing everything she can for this dog. Like this client is very, very committed to her dogs, and Rocky was her special heart dog. And when she came to me, it's because the vet had told her, like, either he lives on medication for the rest of his life or I suggest you put him down because I don't know what else to do for you. So she came to me and we sat down, had a consultation, and like, he had no hair on his chest. It was all like black elephant skin, really, really, really thick. Really bad ear infections, balding around the eyes and different spots. And I told her, I said, hey, look, like, this is really intense, and this is going to take some time. And I just want to prepare you, because just have some patience and trust in the process. You know, I this can take a while. And then she gets back to me 2 weeks later after we've, you know, we did the custom meal plan, supplement plan. And 2 weeks later, she gets back to me. She's like, wow, I can't believe the changes. This is so amazing. And I'm thinking like, wow, okay, well, that's great. You know, like, cool. And she says, no, like, he's doing really, like, so much better. Like, I can't believe it. And I'm thinking like, okay, well, send me some pictures. And I was floored. I couldn't believe it. Like, his hair had grown back. He already didn't look like the same dog. It looked like he shedded all his old coat and started growing a new one. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I've never seen changes happen this fast. It was crazy. And she was floored. And then literally, you know, like, she'd come back and we'd do follow-up consults and stuff like that. And I really, we did a lot of back and forth, and this was such an incredible journey. And man, his story is actually on our website. And if you looked at his picture from before, then 2 weeks after the raw, and then up to a year, he's a completely new dog. Now, I'm not saying he never had the odd ear infection here and there. He sure did, right? But his progress, which is the main focus here, is that this dog was thriving. And he got his energy back, and he was feeling good. His hair grew back. He didn't have that black tarry skin on his chest anymore that had all grown back. And it was so incredible. I mean, talk about when you trust nature and you feed those animals what they're meant to eat, the power of that, because nutrition is the foundation of health. It really, truly is. And she was dedicated to, following the protocols. When they didn't work or something wasn't working, she'd let me know, and then we keep plugging away at it. And it was amazing to see him flourish. So that's Rocky's story. And so now it's going to lead me to our starting point. Now, I will say, before listing the starting points here, that every animal I help in my practice, I can honestly say each yeast case is unique to each individual, and that the protocols vary from each client. That's why I find it is important to receive guidance from a holistic vet and or a small animal naturopath. So that being said, here are some of the mindful tips. So like I said before, offering a healthy diet free of grains, starches, sugars, and fillers, such as a raw diet. This will help starve the yeast. And also avoiding fruits, except blueberries are actually okay in moderation. Avoiding potatoes, sweet potatoes, beets, broccoli, cauliflower. Those are really starchy. And sticking to herbs like alfalfa, nettle, and burdock in moderation. And that's going to help fulfill the micronutrients and any possible nutrient gaps that you might find in a raw diet. So it'll help cover that. But the most important thing, right, is offering variety. Offering pre and probiotics, because the gut is the foundation for good health. Doing a heavy metal detox is something you can do to help with yeast. So the ones that I really like is Spirulina by Earthrise, or Phytosynergy by Adored Beast is fantastic. And detox, like I said before, is actually best to do after a full moon. Ensuring your pet is getting fresh, clean, fluoride-free water. Avoiding vaccines as much as possible. Avoiding fish such as tuna and salmon because they are high in mercury. Avoiding beef. So many people feed so much beef when their pets have yeast, but beef is actually warm and moist, and yeast loves that. It's energetically warm and moist. So offering neutral to cooling proteins, variety is key, such as duck, pork, turkey, cod, rabbit, wild boar, just to name a few. Those are energetically cooling and neutral proteins. You want to avoid household chemicals, so try and switch your detergents to a more natural one. Like, I personally use the EcoMax, vinegar and water on my floors. Try and keeping it as natural as possible and limiting the environmental toxins. Offering them antifungal remedies such as caprylic acid. So this actually comes from coconut oil, and it's known for effectively killing yeast. So according to Julianne, the recommended doses are 25 milligrams for toy dogs, 50 milligrams for small dogs, 100 milligrams for medium dogs, and 150 milligrams for large dogs. Another really great herb is peau d'arco. So this is actually a native tree from the Amazon, and it's great for killing yeast. And it's recommended to give 12 milligrams per 1 pound of body weight. You can also work with a homeopath. So I've worked with homeopath, and it really helped me on my journey. And they can actually help your pets detox from previous medications as well to help bring restore balance in your pet's body. Adored Beast offers a yeasty beast protocol, so a lot of my clients have used that. But also, when we're dealing with yeast, what people don't always link together is that we're dealing with a gut dysbiosis, also known as leaky gut syndrome. So Adored Beast offers a leaky gut protocol, and I find that doing a rotation of these two protocols works really, really well. I actually have a client currently doing the two protocols in a rotation, and we're seeing some really phenomenal changes here. Also, mushroom, turkey tail mushroom. It's a natural antifungal and can help eradicate yeast as well as improve the immune system. So personally, for my own journey, I've used turkey tail and really found a difference. And when dealing with a yeast die-off, it's really important that we actually support our pet's body's natural detox process. And by doing that, we need to support the organs. So Adored Beast carries Liver Tonic. That's their product, and it's been really crucial in my practice, because when we're doing a yeast die-off, I do a follow-up with the Liver Tonic to help with the toxin overload associated to the yeast die-off. And it contains a wonderful herb such as milk thistle, which is really good for the liver. And this has also got other wonderful herbs, and this product really helps with not only detoxing the organs but supporting them at the same time. So I really recommend that. And then in between meals, it's really helpful to help lower the inflammation. You can give digestive enzymes, and this will help with digesting dead yeast cells. I've also found our healing broth that we make in our store. It's got plantain, which is a fantastic herb for helping healing the gut wall. And it does that because it's an anti-inflammatory, but also it helps stimulate new skin growth in the gut lining. And that really allows the healing of the gut. Natural remedies you can actually apply topically. I really find witch hazel super helpful. It's got a really nice cooling effect. So you can just straight up get non-alcohol witch hazel and put it on a cotton swab and clean their ear with it. Don't go too deep. Some find 50-50 of water and apple cider vinegar is really helpful. Some pets react to apple cider vinegar, though, I've noticed over the years. So also the legendary canine healer soap, only bathe as needed. Like if your pet has like really, really bad yeast and they're really, really itchy and like they have like, you know, crusties and stuff on their skin, then, you know, bathe as needed for sure. But we tend to overbathe our animals, and this actually sets them up for failure because the skin has its own microbiome. And when we're overbathing them with perfume shampoos, it can actually have a detrimental effect on their skin, which makes them less capable to fighting bacteria naturally. So just thought I'd say that. But if you're dealing with like a really bad yeast episode, bathing as needed is going to help with relieving that. And also doing Epsom salt foot soaks is really good with just lukewarm water. This really can help with the itch big time. Yeast overload can be so overwhelming to deal with. Like, this is definitely a huge tester of your strength and of your trust. And we don't like seeing our pets live through this. And I know when we can trust nature's natural healing process and helping support our pet's body holistically, we can find the abundance and health in our pets. I've seen it time and time and again. I've helped hundreds of pets. Yeah, hundreds of pets with this. And yeah, even sometimes I have to like remind myself, right? Like, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Like, yeah, trust the process. And giving the body the time it needs to heal is so crucial. Now, I often have clients who get really overwhelmed, especially during the healing crisis, thinking their pets are getting worse, when in reality, their pet's body is doing exactly what it's meant to do, and is actually healthy enough to clean out the house. I hope today I was able to help empower you in making the right health decision for your beloved animal and supporting them through this journey. It's one heck of a journey, baby. But you got this. And the amazing part is you're not alone. I got you, baby boo. There are some wonderful holistic vets and or naturopaths that can help you during this time. Don't feel like you have to do it alone. I offer consults in person or virtually, so holla at you, girl, if you feel aligned and working with me resonates with you. And we can only do better when we know better. So find your tribe, connect with like-minded people who want to see you and your pet thrive, and I hope this abundance of knowledge is going to give you the guidance you're looking for. Much love to you. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to click that like and share button and share it with your friends and family. If you find value in it, I'm sure they will too. I so appreciate you tuning in. It's because of people like you who tune in and want to do better for their pets that the knowledge keeps on spreading. And that's what I'm here for, because I believe sharing is caring. And all I want to do is share this abundance of information so that it can help you and your pets. And if you want, check us out on Facebook or Instagram. You can find us at Holy Raw Nutrition, HOLIRAW Nutrition. And again, my name is Isabel, and I'm so happy to have had you join us. And I so look forward to the next episode. Thank you and much, much love. Chat to you soon. Bye.